welcome to the podcast. This is GQHQ PQ. My name's Scott, and I'm here with Louis.
Hello.
Mark.
Hi.
And a fellow named Tom.
Hi.
Now, we used to live together, and that's why you're here.
Yep.
Nah, that's not why. Well, it could be.
How did our paths cross? How did they cross?
Long time ago.
Yeah.
But you're a part of Summer Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you do for Summer Hall? Well, that's where our office is, so that's the link, listeners. Yeah.
So we're kind of like ghosts, I guess, aren't we? See each other hovering about for the past 4 years.
That's true.
So me and Scott used to live in a hostel,
mm-hmm.
didn't we? We shared a dorm with another 16 Australians and 2 Spanish.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay.
And that one Italian guy.
And the one Italian guy used to write down his dreams.
I move close to the mic for emphasis. Used to write down his dreams.
He was.
I used to catch him as well. I used to wake him up and like just eyeball him a little bit. Just like, what are you doing? It's like I'm an early riser, so it'd be like 6 a.m. and then kind of like he'd think that nobody else was watching. I was definitely watching. Jot down his dreams and then kind of like just kind of chap his lips a little bit and then just curl back to sleep, yeah, hoping for some more.
That's right. To fill his dream.
Would you
fill?
Would you jot down your observations of him writing down his dreams?
Oh, I should have done. I'll just save it for that anecdote for the, this oh, one.
A,
I just,
a David diary.
Yeah. What were you doing at that time? I like to keep it as a treasured memory.
Well, my bed was right next to him, so I watched him sometimes as well. Because he used to wake up.
You watched Tom or you watched the Italian guy?
The Italian guy.
Okay, right.
You were watching Tom watching the
Italian
guy
called David.
Yeah, he used to wake up and then kind of like sit up, like in a cartoon when someone gets scared and they just sit up. And then he'd kind of like roll around a little bit and then write down some dreams and then go back to sleep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean,
how do you know there is dreams?
What else are you writing down that time in the morning? I don't know. It's not what you've got to do with the rest of the day.
Yeah, he wasn't the most like creative, so I don't think it'd be like ideas that he had. Like, you know, some like singers or story writers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what he did.
Well, you know, they say that you should write down your dreams if you want to like get better at dreaming.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
like lucid dreaming.
Yeah,
lucid
if you want to start lucid dreaming, you got to start writing it down, and then your brain gets better at.
He's had the last laugh then.
Yeah, exactly. Every night he's doing what he wants.
Six years later, he's loving his life.
He's going mad for it now.
Oh, he's living two lives.
Hey.
That'd be, I was going to say that'd be the dream to lucid dream, but that's a terrible thing to say.
That's a terrible.
But yeah, with Summer Hall, what do you do with Summer Hall?
Summer Hall. I'm program and development coordinator. Well, development special projects, whatever you want to call it. We're an organic organization. So
okay.
We kind of like let the roles fit the people or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I look after mainly the fringe program. Is like my main kind of job. And the rest of the time, ad hoc projects throughout the building as they come up. So doing a sustainability project at the minute with the charge points, the electric car charge points, the bikes. Currently on a bit of a administrative come down from booking in the festival.
So this
is where the artist's attention like shifts to booking flights and accommodation, which has nothing to do with us. So this is our like kind of calm before the storm festival happened.
Fallow period.
So I remember, talking to you at the start of the year and you were had already started and just...
Darkest time of the year is the darkest time of my life.
So when does all the fringe booking happen during the year?
During February.
February,
March is when it really kicks off.
Yeah.
My boss, who's the head programmer, she'll start firing in with like, we get about like 500 applications and we try to get a little bit more love and kind of like give everyone, you know, time and feedback and consideration. But with that, like the admin is quite a lot that comes with it.
Can you tell us the worst thing you've seen?
The worst thing I've seen.
In fringe related, not like
in your life.
You're going to get flashbacks here.
Yeah, you saw David's dream journal.
I've seen some pretty bad things. The worst thing I've ever seen. I think it's the ones that I know that cost like 70, 80 grand just for like a couple of weeks worth of run. They have like 12 cast members and huge names behind it.
Ooh.
And if that's like bad and like jarring, those are the ones that I find really bad.
That's a diplomatic answer.
Yeah.
It's just the disappointment that gets you.
The waste of money
and that,
that so it's kind of like most, it shuts me off completely if it's like
I guess there's an audience for everything really
so but just not enough audience to make it worthwhile.
I mean that's a lot of money,
but it's kind of difficult because you kind of train yourself to like constantly look for the good things and to try to like, because you find it a lot, like if you're like networking or chatting with artists and the theatre scene's so tiny, if you're chatting to someone, they'll ask you what you think. And I've been caught in that situation before where I've seen a show that I've like despised and then come out and been chatting to the artist and then they've asked like what I thought and I've just gone blank and then kind of like panicked and just come up with like anything I could grasp from it and just, but staging was great.
It was
it was definitely a show.
I could see it. The atmosphere.
So I've kind of trained myself to find one or two things that I've really enjoyed and then just focus on that, take that with me.
Right.
So it's kind of really hard to find like my worst show, I think.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. What's on this year at Summer Hall then?
This year, we have 147 shows. So it's one show up on the 146 that we did in 2016.
Yeah.
So we've beaten it.
High score.
Yeah. New high score.
A few things. Lots of sequels, I guess. Lots of performers coming back with kind of like follow-up shows, but not like direct follow-up shows. But
yeah,
we had Rachel Mars do a show called Our Carnal Hearts. It was in the British Council Showcase 2 or 3 years ago. She's coming back with a show called Your Sect's a Shit. And she compares her Tinder chats to the classics like James Joyce's love letters and talks about the difference. That'll be amazing.
I'm sure there's definite parallels there.
I'm sold on that one.
Yeah.
Lots of different things. Not as much dance. Quite like, that's one thing that I found some working at some halls. I've kind of got my head into dance a bit more.
Oh, yeah.
Start to enjoy that a bit more. It's just super meditative. You don't have to like think as much. You can just be like impressed by the cool shapes.
Okay.
Just, do you know what I mean? It's so much, so much nicer. Yeah.
It is quite cool.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. That's good. Is that your positive feedback for them?
Yeah.
Those great shapes. Those shapes were really cool.
Didn't take much mind power.
Yeah.
That's right. I totally switched off.
Oh, nice. Oh, wow.
Are you, I remember last year, my favorite thing at Summer Hall Fringe was the sauna, the Finnish sauna.
Oh, yeah.
Outside the front.
Yeah, just outside here.
Is that back again?
It's not. It's not.
Oh, that could have been 148. Sad.
It was just so odd to be standing there in my, you know, swim trunks on the middle, on the busy street, you know, waiting for my turn in the sauna. But it was lovely inside the sauna. We had good chats in there.
It's just, I think you got to take advantage. You just got to take advantage of this kind of place for like the weird stuff that can happen and that you can get away with. Like in what workplace could you possibly walk around in your pants?
Yeah. It's the fringe. You know?
Exactly.
And there was another show as well called the Dice Festival that was in the Library Gallery. And that was like, you had six performances and whoever rolled the dice, whatever number came up, it was assigned to a different performer or performance, right? And it was like super contemporary art, like really, really far out there kind of stuff.
Right.
So you could get the same show six times in a row and you have to watch it again and again and again. Or you could get someone doing it twice or three times, or very rarely they'd get it all six, like in kind of a linear narrative.
Yeah.
One of those shows, there's a guy who had said he had body issues, said he was bullied for being overweight as a kid, and he's got like a big kind of like insecurity issue about his body. So he just went and got on stage. He's like, right, so I've got a 10-minute slot. I'm just going to get naked in front of everyone. And you don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. I just really want to get over this for me, and I'm just going to get naked in front of you.
Good on him.
And it was really kind of like sweet, actually, because like he got naked, and then he was kind of like really visibly shaking with some kind of anxiety that we kind of wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
I guess that's
people
pretty...
in the audience kind of like spontaneously started to get naked with him.
Okay.
And everyone kind of like got on to the stage with him, and more and more and more people did it, and my friend did it, and I was kind of just like, the last of three people in the room. I was like, Christ, I've got to do it now. So I'm the only one that knows where the CCTV is in the room. That corner right there. keep your body away from that.
Oh, sounds very empowering.
What time was
liberating
that
during the day?
It was like 10 o'clock at night, 10, 11 o'clock at night.
It's a fine time to get naked.
Yeah, it's a secret rave. But after 10 minutes of the show, then he just played his favorite song, which was like some kind of happy hardcore tune, and everyone started dancing naked in the in the cafe.
Nice. Some good shapes.
Busting some shapes. All day the next day getting my coffee. Got all these like happy folks sat around with a cake, so like you have no idea what happened.
If only you knew.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm excited for the fringe.
Yeah.
I just love the weird shit that happened. And it's like, it's the fringe.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Exactly.
Don't have to talk about it ever again, like, unless you come on a podcast.
You have to rehash everything. No, that's great.
I find it's kind of like, I don't know why most cities don't do the Fringe or like festivals like that. Or maybe they try, but then it doesn't quite pull off as much, because it is, I don't know, it's a really kind of good thing for just a city to do.
Yeah.
It's like really cathartic.
Mm.
It's kind of like the Purge, but arty, an arty purge with no death.
Yeah. An arts purge.
For an entire month as well.
That's right, yeah. You have 1 month.
Yeah.
Get it all out there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh,
wow.
And anything else in Summer Hall besides Fringe stuff? I mean, there's always things happening here.
There's one more thing that I want to big up, is the Kung Fu Film Festival.
Oh, yeah, this sounds great.
We are launching as part of, we're trying to push the Red Lecture Theatre as more as a cinema space.
Mm-hmm.
So the French Film Festival crew have done a great job with that. But we kind of want to do a bit more Summer Hall-led film-programmed events. So we applied for funding from Creative Scotland and got money to put on a Kung Fu Film Festival.
It's the natural step after a French film
natural
festival.
Natural step.
France. Kung Fu.
That's right.
It's like an idea came up ages ago. So our former head of events, her family was from Hong Kong, and we were looking at launching some kind of cinema festival because we saw this festival fund come up. Like, oh, I should apply for something. And Sarah just kind of put her hand up and she was like, Jackie Chan Festival. Festival of Jackie Chan is like my favorite person ever. It's the best thing Hong Kong ever did. Jackie Chan Festival. So it's like, all right, cool. But then, like, the more kind of like networking events I went to, you know, there's 3,000 master's students from Southeast Asia around the Hong Kong region, just in like this part of town.
Really?
3,000.
3,000?
Yeah. And part of these talks that Edinburgh Uni were talking about is like how you prescribe culture for people who struggle with like isolation or have like, mm-hmm. you know, moved with the fairy tale of coming to Edinburgh and then kind of being met with like, you know, hard work.
Edinburgh.
High costs. Edinburgh, yeah. And just getting stuck with it and they can't really reach out. But then, so I kind of like made a rudimentary link from like Hong Kong students to a Kung Fu film festival. And then I thought about the kind of like niche little film scenes that pop up everywhere. And the BFI have, the British Film Institute have listed this year as foreign language year. Or like there's 10 things that are of like urgency that the British Film Institute have to promote here and now. And one of them is foreign language cinema.
Mm-hmm.
So Kung Fu fits that.
Fantastic.
And there's actually quite a lot of them. Kung Fu movies. Yeah. There's a big list of things
you've
to choose
from. Favorite Kung Fu film?
Don't say Kung Fu Panda.
No, I wasn't going to. But I remember actually it was a spoof of Kung Fu films that I watched as a young, like as a 12-year-old, and I thought it was just super funny. It was called Kung Pao.
Yes.
Kung Pao. Do you remember that?
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a lot of nuts.
Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah. You
I mean,
that.
It was like
yeah.
just perfect for a 12-year-old boy.
Oh, it's got that guy in it. Yeah. Is the poster he's holding a gerbil as a nunchuck?
Yeah. Something like that. And there's the lady with three breasts.
Yeah. That's right. So basically, didn't he put himself into old Kung Fu films?
He like dubbed himself in and did all the voices over and
That's right.
Oh, what's his. Odekirk
or something.
Yeah. Steve Odekirk.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my. So I guess it's a bit of a cop out because I actually haven't seen that many kung fu movies. So,
that's fair.
Yeah. But nice. I like that one. Yeah. What about you, Scott?
Well, I used to watch a lot of martial arts films.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's. I can't. I don't think I could narrow it down. Ooh. I quite like Jet Li, but I know that he doesn't do kung fu. So does that count as a kung fu
film? Jet Li does kung fu.
I think you're overthinking it.
I think I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just like martial arts films in general, like Ip Man and what is it, Ong Bak, and I do like Jackie
Ong
Chan
Bak's
as well.
Insane.
Oh, wow. Ong Bak, I remember. Yeah.
That's Taiwanese though, so it's kind of it's like part of putting it together. I kind of like found like you know the do's and don'ts of what kind of falls into what. And there was so many like Ong Bak jumped to the first moment. Yeah, it's Taiwanese. It's not kung fu.
Yeah.
So it has to be from Hong Kong.
Sort of. Well, the kind of like idea is like anything kind of from that region, like Southeast Asia, Hong Kong, Cantonese area, that has then kind of like grown arms and legs and kind of been accepted by Western cinema going audiences is the kind of thing I was going for. So like Drunken Master, we have.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, so we've got like Drunken Master, Kung Fu Hustle.
Oh, that's going to be my
Shaolin Soccer.
Shaolin Soccer, my second choice.
Enter the Dragon.
Third choice.
Yes.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Hero.
Yeah, yeah, good.
Nice.
Very quiet film, though.
Oh, was there a film called Double Dragon? Did anyone see that one?
That was a game, I think.
Yes, but then they made a film out of the game, and it's the most ridiculous film ever. It's like one of those that's just terrible, but super fun. So,
do you have a favorite one, Tom?
Kung Fu Hustle.
Nice.
That's one where it's excellent. it's a little bit superhero-esque.
It's a bit sort of anime-ish.
Yeah, like there's that lady that screams really loud.
It's hilarious, and the action's like amazing.
Yeah.
But it's just like really well shot as well. It's kind of like, I think it's the same crew as they did The Matrix, or the same choreographer.
Right.
I forget what his name is, but he's like Jackie Chan's best mate.
Okay.
Did Drunken Master. It was like his first big one.
Yeah.
And then went on to do like The Matrix, Crouching Tiger, and Dragon, choreographed Kung Fu Hustle and Shaolin Soccer.
Oh, nice.
There's like one go-to bloke for like excellent, excellent fight scenes.
Yeah, I mean, he does them well, so yeah.
All right, so when is the Kung Fu Film Festival?
The 16th to the 22nd of September, 2019.
Nice.
Perfect.
We're all going to be there for the old Fringe hangover.
Very keen.
Yeah, we can go see a Kung Fu film every day.
Yeah.
That we're here working.
Also, it's kind of targeted at all the international students arriving in that week.
Behind the curtain.
Kind of works well for that.
Yeah.
Good. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea. And in terms of like foreign language films, it's quite accessible because it's a lot of action, right? It's
there's a lot of cool shapes.
And a lot of cool shapes, let me tell you. So did you select the films yourself?
I did. I got given a big list from a distributor of Kung Fu movies.
Oh, really?
I was gonna pick.
Oh, cool.
There's one in there that I'm a bit not too sure about. It's called Wolf Warrior 2. It's definitely
Wolf Warrior.
It's the highest grossing movie in Chinese history.
Oh wow!
And it's by a kung fu artist who went on to do these kind of like really patriotic Chinese movies.
Oh, someone told me about this. Yeah,
yeah. It's China's Rambo.
Yeah, it's like Chinese propaganda stuff.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see that cultural shift of, you know, America playing like the really nasty,
the
racist
bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And China coming in and kind of literally having its own version of Sylvester Stallone coming in and beating the crap out of Americans.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
But that geopolitical shift is really interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, right. Yeah. Nice, yeah. Now, someone was telling me about that because they were talking about the... how Russia's going to make their own version of Chernobyl.
Ah, yeah.
The TV show.
Oh, right.
And blame it all on American spies.
Yeah.
I think I'd probably watch that as well.
Yeah.
Interesting to see. Spin that yarn.
Yeah, yep. Certainly, yeah.
Just wait until the Nuclear Disaster Film Festival and then see what they come up with.
Next year's one.
See, it wasn't unproven, was it? There was some evidence that said that some Americans were, like, covertly checking out the place. So it's also, like, apparently the guys that made Chernobyl said, we're not going to go down this route. We're just going to present an apolitical thing and not kind of like, we're going to talk about the facts that we can find.
Yeah.
But there's loads of like unconfirmed things about CIA kind of monitoring the place. So it might actually be true. But then Russia's going to present their side of it and be like, well, this also is a thing.
Yeah.
All right.
This is the truth.
Is there anything else you want to...
No. Nah? I'm pretty summer hauled out,
That was good.
Come on down. Check us out.
Yeah, and then look up at our office and be like, we know what goes on there sometimes.
And go to the Royal Deck Quiz.
That's right. Yeah.
Every 7 Monday.
Mondays.
7 p.m.
Sweet. You can get any questions then.
Yeah.
Play the percentage game.
I just found out there's a place in Game of Thrones called Summer Hall.
Really?
It's one of the first things that comes up.
You'll see on our Facebook, we're called Summer Hallery. So, the reason we can't do that is because there's someone in America whose first name is Summer, last name is Hall.
Really?
So there's a good while where she kept on getting tagged in everything by like people who were coming. Wisconsin, I think. And she just got in touch one day. She's been like, please stop this.
All right. Everyone tag Summer Hall.
Summer Hall. She has to legally change her name.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Summer Hall.
Send her a message.
She's probably her husband gets all the hate. Like, why'd I take your fucking name? Yeah. Hall.
Summer Hall.
Never again.
I was happy with Fokker.
Edinburgh.
Oh, man. Oh, nice. You should have invited her over.
Maybe.
Summer Hall in Summer Hall.
Mm. To the pub quiz on Monday at 7 p.m.
Nice. So professional.
So natural.
This is perfect.
What's that you say? Summer Hall pub quiz at 7 p.m. in the Royal Day.
Oh, all right. Good.
Very good.
I think we can do questions. Yeah. Okay. Geography. Are you a big geography fan?
Yes, I think it's my strongest one, and it's the one that I also enjoy losing because I learned something. Otherwise, I don't know. Yeah,
that's a very mature response.
I need to take that approach.
Very good.
So I forget everything else, you know. It's kind of like
I mean, I like geography I was thinking this because we did some quick fire maths challenges yesterday, like against the clock, and we realized that all of us have forgotten how to do maths.
It was dreadful.
I just felt so stupid.
I forgot all my eight times tables.
The quiz is fine because, like, you know, you do sort of learn something every now and again, but having to answer a maths question was like, oh,
no. Do you ever get those moments, though, where you'll just have it and it'll just like arrive and appear at you, like with that maths problem?
It didn't happen yesterday. No, I was on camera as well.
Yeah, like, oh, it was the pressure, maybe. It was all that pressure.
Yeah.
I have forgotten how to divide.
Yeah. Long division. That was a tough one.
Well, yeah, I'm supposed to unite in these times, so maybe forgive you for not being able to divide us even more. Oh. I was getting political now. No, that was geography. Anyway.
What a metaphor. Yeah,
what a metaphor. Anyway, the second part of the podcast, we're going to move on to the percentage game. Everyone in the room, everyone listening at home, Goose is going to explain the rules. Take it away, Andrew.
The rules. The closest to the actual percentage gets 3 points. The second closest gets 2, and the furthest away gets 1 per question. There's still the easy and hard rules, so if you get one question right and you're in the easy rules, you get 5 points closer to the answer. On the hard rules, if you get one wrong, you get 5 points further away. The most points at the end over the 10 questions wins.
Thank you, Goose. That was clear.
Clear and concise.
So 10 questions all about planet Earth, team name by the fifth one, answer and percentage for every question. Are we all feeling confident?
Yes.
Everyone loves geography.
Debatable.
It's my favorite subject.
It's mine
I do like the concept of geography.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Solid foundations.
That's it. The whole world.
The whole
nice
world.
Try, geography.
You're not going to fool me. Okay, so answer and percentage for everyone. Question one. What is the capital city of Poland? Capital city of the country Poland. Answer and percentage. Anyone been to Poland? So answers. Percentage as well. 3, 2, 1.
Huh.
Hey.
Got it wrong.
Oh,
big time.
Yeah. Right. It doesn't matter if you get it right or wrong. Not to give too much away early. But Scott, what did you say?
Warsaw. Warsaw.
Mark.
Also Warsaw.
And Tom.
Manchester. put Krakow. Sorry.
Krakow. The answer is Warsaw.
Warsaw.
Get rid of that.
Bit of war seen that coming.
Oh, nice.
Anyone been to Warsaw?
I've not been to any of Poland.
No, me neither.
Yeah, I have been to Poland. That's my excuse. I've been to the north, but I went to a tiny town in the north of Poland. But it was like a port city where they had a shop and you went away on the boat again.
Okay.
Oh, good. Yeah.
What a story.
Not the capital, though, is it?
No.
Percentage as well. So we'll go around to my left. Scott, your magic number is?
82%.
82. Mark?
Oh, 84.
84. Tom?
75.
75.
It's a tight one.
82, 84, 75. The final percentage is 94.8.
Oh, shit. Yes.
I'm in the 8 thickest percent. Damn.
So, 3 points to Mark. 2 points to Scott, 1 point to Tom for that one. There you go. Good. Capital City is out of the way. Question two. Liberty, equality, fraternity. That's the motto for which country? So we have liberty, equality, and fraternity.
Fraternity?
Is the motto for which country? What's Australia's motto, Scott?
Get it up, yeah.
Good as gold, mate.
Get up, yeah. Okay, good. Everyone got an answer and a percentage for their country of choice for this motto?
Percentage.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, turn. Oh, some numbers are different.
Yes.
Scott, your answer, though, is?
France.
Mark?
France.
And Tom?
Netherlands.
Netherlands. This is a nasty one. This is a translation of their motto, and it is France.
Ooh.
Yeah. Is the answer.
Liberté, égalité. Fraternité.
Oh, that's not much of a translation.
It's pretty much the same.
just without an accent.
A couple of extra letters thrown in there. Yeah, I guess that because of like the Statue of I didn't think it was America. America's would have been something more
clever.
Yeah.
But you also, your percentage.
I put 21%.
Really low number compared to Mark, who said
61.
61. And then Tom?
45.
45. All right. 21, 61, 45. The final percentage is 82.5%.
Oh. Boop, boop, boop.
So 3 points to Mark, 2 points to Tom, 1 point to Scoot for that one.
Well, just
that's a really positive response to that. That's amazing that that amount of people
81%.
Are
I think it's quite a, like a famous one. I mean, but, I mean the, out of all the countries,
national mottos.
I don't think I know any mottos.
Quite a lot of national mottos are like, you know, all about the God.
Yeah,
about in God, we trust. Like God save the Queen or something.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Brazil's is on their flag. Is it Autumn e Progresso or something?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
what, work in progress or something?
Yeah, a lot of very similar national mottos.
Yeah, Canada's is from sea to sea.
Nerds.
Just America's closing lyric, right?
Yeah, from sea. From sea to shining sea. That's right, yeah. From sea to sea.
You should tell them that.
Or is it just like, is it like the letter C? Is it like cool and witty?
Yeah, okay. From C to A. From C to C.
So question three, speaking of America, question three, you need two answers here. Alphabetically, what are the first and last states in the USA? So I need two answers to get the 1 point here. Alphabetically speaking, which is my favorite type of speaking, what are the first and last states in the United States of America? From C to C. Listeners at home, this is a very tense scene just now.
Yeah.
I can see everyone recounting the alphabet in their head.
Mm.
I can say the alphabet out loud if it helps. A.
But not in order.
Seven.
What if we only get one of them right?
No, you don't get any right. It's two or nothing.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Two or bust.
Playing with the big dogs now.
Woof, woof. Everyone got an answer and a percentage for this?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Dramatic turn. 3, 2, 1, go.
Oh. Look at us.
Nice.
Look at us.
All right, we'll go around. Scott, you said
Alabama and Wyoming.
And Wyoming. Mark?
Same.
And Tom?
Same.
Same. It is Alabama and Wyoming.
Hey!
Yes. Nice.
Well done, everyone.
Well done.
It's good. Percentage, though. Everyone got it right. Well done. But what did the teams that have answered this get? Scott, you said
60.
Six T's. Mark?
71.
71. And Tom?
90.
90. Oh, I'm enjoying your bold outlook in this quiz. 60, 71, 90. The final percentage is 66.5.
Oh.
So, pepping Scott, 3 points to Mark, 2 points.
Sorry, Scott.
Scumbag.
To Scott, and then 1 point to Tom.
Oof.
For that one.
That was a close one.
And then, question four. We've got a few water-based ones in this round.
Oh, good.
Question four. Which country has the most lakes in the world?
Straight down. My God.
Not,
I've never seen someone write faster.
Not per, like, per square meter or something. It's like just in general, most
individual lakes.
Individual lakes.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Or no. Scott, edit in whatever one's accurate. Lakes. Lakes.
I like this question a lot. Even if it's wrong, that's why I like geography.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's for question. You live for questions like this.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, if you learn from it, then it's never a bad thing.
I mean,
I'm gonna put this answer down because I feel like I've heard this before, but geographically speaking, it doesn't make as much sense as another answer.
So cryptic. I feel like this is classic trivia.
Yeah.
Like this is
as classic as it gets.
Yeah.
The thing is, what constitutes a lake and like a large puddle or like a pond?
Salt lakes as well.
Does that count?
I don't know.
Dried up riverbeds.
Oh my God. Well, that's a river. Oh. That's a river, so yeah. Probably wouldn't count.
What about like
who decides?
Aquifers?
But as well, there's not going to be like a World United Lake deciding front, is
no.
There's one, a,
that's
one
strong name, no.
One person sitting on like an island in the middle of a lake and you have to paddle
lake,
out.
Lake, like, not a lake.
What about this
lake.
One? Nope.
Lake.
Nope, not a lake.
It's a puddle, you idiot.
If anyone has too much money, then we can head up this project.
Yeah.
Let's bring order to the world's
not
lakes.
Not lake.
It's ponds.
It's an inland sea.
Inland
ranker.
Seas.
This is a puddle. Well, we can discuss this further once people have shown me their answers. So what's everyone put for this one? Scott, you said?
Canada.
Someone's from there. Mark?
I went for Finland.
Finland. No one's from there. And Tom?
Canada
for that one. So I think this was contested at the time. But as you were saying, like, you know, a lake, what's a lake?
Yeah.
What makes a lake a lake? Because Finland was reported for a while, but they were just like big puddles. the answer is Canada.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, any Finnish people listening.
I was thinking of Canada was my go-to, but yeah. I went for Finland because I thought.
Nah, do you have the thing? I had the thing where I was like, but I nearly put the UK, but I thought that's really arrogant, isn't it? Just to assume that. Did you have that?
Full of lakes.
I can't put Canada because I'm from Canada.
Yeah, yeah, that played into it a little bit, but I didn't listen to the little voice inside my head.
I should have.
Yeah,
the little Canadian boy.
Little, yeah,
it's like little Ryan Reynolds.
It's Canada.
Little slice next week.
We got so many lakes here, eh?
Yes. Apparently, for like an ordinary definition of a lake, Canada has more lakes than the rest of the world combined.
But if anything's a lake,
some mad Finnish person was like, "Fuck it, lake."
That's a lake. That's a lake. The tears that were shed knowing that Canada was the largest.
In Finland, we call this a lake.
That's a swimming pool. Come on. That's a slightly wet sauna you've got there. That's not a lake.
It's a tablespoon of vinegar. What are you doing?
Canada percentage. Scott.
88.
88. All the lakes. 88. Mark.
31.
Ooh. Tom.
83.
Ooh.
There's a pattern there.
Being shy again.
Yeah,
he's just not confident in his lake knowledge.
I just think people might go for Finland.
Well, I can tell you how many people went for Canada. 59.8% of people went for Canada. So 3 points to Tom.
Wow.
2 points to Scott.
Oh, nice.
And 1 point to the Canadian. Mark.
Just didn't trust it.
He's in denial over there.
It's too polite. Someone else probably has the record. Not Canada. And then
it's just not something we boast about. So I didn't realize that was something.
It's fine. I need to sing it from the rooftops.
Fine. Yeah, so humble.
We've got the most lakes.
change your motto.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Not from
land,
sea to sea.
Land of the lakes.
Lakes.
From lake to lake to lake to lake.
We
to
got
lake
them.
To lake to lake
if
to
you
lake.
Like lakes. The next one, also wet. The Yellow River is found in which Asian country? So the Yellow River is found in which Asian country?
I remember the answer to this one because of a very weird interaction I had with a cab driver.
Okay. Well, we'll wait until the answers come out, and then you can tell us all about it. The Yellow River. Then we've got an answer and a percentage for this one?
Yes.
Right. Well, I'm just thinking about my percent. I'm going to go quite low.
Okay, three.
Little teaser there for you.
Two, one. Go.
Flip.
He did go low.
Wow. Oh, very low.
That's very low.
Oh. Okay. Scott, you said?
China.
China. Mark?
China.
China. Tom?
China.
China. Yes. China. The sixth longest river in the world. The Chinese name for it is the Huang He River.
Right. Okay.
Second longest in China after the Yangtze River.
Okay. There you go.
There we go. Was this the conversation you had in the taxi?
No. It was actually, it was on the way to our St. Columba's charity quiz.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to get a taxi because there's an issue with one bus stop near me. Anyway, loading buses, sort your shit out. And I got in. He's like, oh, where are you going? It's like, oh, Corn Exchange. It's like, yeah, cool. What are you doing there? It's like, oh, I'm working. It's like, oh, you're working like the bar or something. Oh, we're doing a quiz. Oh, cool. I love pub quizzes. Ask me a question. I was like, and this was the only question I could remember was, where's the Yellow River? And he's like, oh, I don't know. I was like, all right. It's in China. He's like, yep. But the whole thing was that he just wanted to ask me questions. And that's, so he didn't give a shit about my questions.
No.
So.
Oh, no.
So did that lead to him asking you questions?
Yeah, but I can't remember his questions.
Oh. Were they good questions? Should we hire him?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
But he did his job well, got me to the Corn Exchange.
Well,
so
there you go.
Nice. Happy endings. Percentage, Scott?
73%.
Mark?
84.
84. Or Tom?
19. Don't know why.
That's quite low. Do you think no one else would?
I had a lot of doubt in there. I was like, a lot of doubt rattling.
What other countries do you think it could be?
Yellow River's very, it's not very region specific.
Yeah.
Like, you
it
know.
Doesn't have a, yeah.
Because I thought, like, I think the obvious choice would be like China, right? Obviously, because it's the biggest
it's,
country.
It's correct, yeah.
But also, like, and then that kind of brought up, like, so self-doubt against, like, the quizmaster, like, trick question kind of stuff. So I was being like, ooh, I wonder off, what if it's in Japan? What if it's in Taiwan? And then off I went.
What if it's in Finland?
They claim it.
Connecting all those lakes. Classic. Where does all that water come from?
Yeah.
The Yellow
River. This river's divided into...
That's right.
Yes, so 73, 84, and a 19. In third place, getting 1 point, is Tom. Oh. He's a bit further away.
Wait, what was the percentage?
I'll tell you.
Oh.
I was teasing.
Oh, it's a big tease.
So we have a 73 and an 84. The final percent is 70. 9.4.
Ole! Oh, again.
3 points to Mark, 2 to Scott. Fuck That's why sake. I was teasing it out.
What a... Oh, wow. That was exciting. My heart rate's way up now.
What a showman.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Louis just an entertainer.
So do we need a team name?
Yes,
at the end
please. Oh. You seem to have one, Scott. Do you want to talk us through it just now?
Mine one is Chosen One, I'm Coming, which is from Kung Pao when he's running in the distance. And then the lady's like, Chosen One. And then he goes, I'm coming. And then she says it again. Oh, and then he's a little bit closer. And then she says it again. He's a bit closer. And then she says it again. And then he's like far away. And then it just keeps, the distance keeps changing.
You're bringing it all back to me. It's whatever. Yeah.
So that's my team name.
Kung Pao. I was literally, my friend and I were the only ones in the whole cinema to watch that movie.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, when we saw it, when it came out.
I'd like to watch it again.
Back in the day. Yeah,
I feel like maybe there's some political correctness issues in there now.
Maybe. But we can still have a good laugh.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good. Right.
Mark, your team name?
Fuck you, Finland.
Oh, okay. I've got a soundbite.
I mean,
I'm just mad. Because I trusted them, and they betrayed me.
Well, they didn't really.
Loose definition of lakes.
And Tom.
Right. I've been trying to think of one, because I forgot while you've been doing this. And I just thought of one, which is Kung Fu related as well. But, so, it's kind of an interesting fact. Because we're doing the poster for the Kung Fu Film Festival, right? So, we've got, so it's a comic book strip kind of style film poster where there's three characters.
We'll post it up.
And they're basically an angry English hippo takes away some popcorn from someone who speaks simplified Chinese, and then there's another character from Japan who designed the poster, and there's also an event called Suffragitsu, and Jiu-Jitsu is Japanese, so that was that link. And it's narrated in Cantonese, and so we're working out like what kind of things to say in different languages, like what how these characters can interact using all these different languages. And Bruce Lee, was it his famous quote, was it like, I fear not the person that has practiced 10,000 different kicks, but I fear the person that has practiced 10,000 kicks once.
Yeah.
Right, so we used that quote as part of the Cantonese narration, but because Bruce Lee said it in English, trying to translate it into Chinese or Cantonese is really difficult.
Okay.
And I've got what our translator came back with to try and make sense. So this was going to be my team name. Fear not the person that's practiced 10,000 kicks, but I fear the person that's practiced one kick a lot.
Ah, yes.
You know, because you don't want to get kicks with that one kick. 10,000 of them's okay. And if you were to, this is how it would sound in English coming from Cantonese. I'm not afraid to have practiced 10,000 kinds of self, but be afraid to encounter will be a self-exercise only 10,000 times the foe.
Oh, wow.
That rolls off the tongue.
Oh, okay.
Took up your whole whiteboard.
So that's my team name.
Oh, nice.
Well, yeah.
That's a good team name.
That's a great team name.
Oh, okay. Question 6. The Vasco da Gama Bridge, which is the longest in Europe, is found in which country?
Is it not Spain? La, la, la,
la, la. Answer's on the board.
Yes.
Vasco da Gama Bridge.
You're saying it's not spanning two countries.
Yeah,
it's not a small bridge.
Is it?
The answer is Finland.
I just can't believe it anymore. Yeah, no. I just don't trust them.
Crosses the Yellow River. Scott, you said?
Portugal.
Portugal. Mark?
Portugal.
Portugal. Tom?
Denmark.
Denmark. The explorer Vasco da Gama. Portuguese. The answer is Portugal.
Yeah.
Percentage. Mark, you, Scott, sorry. You said?
50%.
50. Mark?
63.
63. Tom?
68.
68. All right. So, people are pretty close. The final percentage is 59.8.
Oof.
So that means 3 points to Mark.
Oh, right, yeah.
2 points to Tom. Right, 1 point to Scott for that one.
That's harsh.
Sorry, Scott.
I mean, it's fair.
Oh, yeah, it is fair. But I mean, like, you know, being eight away. And
Dems the breaks.
Anyway.
Question 7, multiple choice. So you got good odds here. Which of these countries has the highest average yearly rainfall? Is it A, the United Kingdom, B, Colombia, or C, Canada? So A, B, or C, which of these countries has the highest average yearly rainfall? So the most rain on average every year. Is it A, the UK, B, Colombia, or C, Canada?
Is this just out of these three, or it's like in the world? It's
not pertinent.
I'm just curious if it was just a random three, or if it was like in the world.
Objection, Your Honor.
It's not an objection, just a curiosity. That's all.
Overruled.
Don't make me get the gavel. So yeah, rainiest country, A, B, or C, and a percentage. Everyone got something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, turn.
Nice.
Oh, okay. Oh,
look at that. Nice. Oh, my days. Very good.
You guys.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Okay, Scott.
Colombia.
Colombia. Mark.
Colombia.
Colombia. And Tom.
Colombia.
Colombia. It is Colombia.
Oh, yes.
For that. Because
of the rainforest.
Because
of the Amazon.
3,240 millimeters per year on average. The UK has 1,220. And Canada... only 537.
Oh, where do those lakes come from?
Barren desert.
Inhospitable. It is. So yeah, everyone got it right.
That's why Mark's here, to get some hydration. So,
yeah, 100% of the people in the room got it right.
Yes.
Scott, your percentage?
36%.
36. Mark?
38.
38. And Tom?
37.
37. So you have a 36.
I have everything above 38%.
A 37 and a 38. 37 is not a good place to be
no,
right
no.
now.
No, it's got to be right now.
Absolutely zero wiggle room.
That's right.
Unless it is 37%.
Yeah. Well, Tom gets 5 extra.
That's true as well. He's 5 closer. So, 36, 37, 38. The final percentage from all the teams we've asked is 83.5.
Yes. Jesus.
Oh, no, but Tom wins then.
Because he got it right.
Damn it.
3 points, only 41 away is Tom. 2 points, 45 away is Mark, and 1 point, 47 away is Scott.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah, idiot.
That was fun.
Rainy.
That was great.
What a rainy place. Question 8. Back on to sort of normal geography stuff. Question 8. After Paris, which French city has the next largest population? So Paris, numero uno. What is number two?
This is a tricky one.
On the list.
I feel like there are two.
It's currently extremely hot there, isn't it?
Yeah, it broke 44 degrees today. Yeah. And it's going to get hotter tomorrow as well. It's going to get 45 in Spain, I think.
Oh, just I can't think of any other Spanish, French cities.
Part of me thinks it's this one. I seem to remember this one.
What do you got?
But I know...
Oh, that's helpful, Scott.
That wow. The other one is also up there. I'll stick with my guns.
Okay. Everyone got an answer and a percentage?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, turn. Ooh, okay. Scott, you said...
Marseille.
Mark?
I went for Lyon.
Lyon. And Tom?
Marseille.
Marseille. So Paris, numero one.
Yeah.
Second on the list, with just under 800,000, is Marseille.
Nice.
Number two.
Yes.
Well done. Percentages, though. So, Scott, you went for...
49%.
49. Then Mark?
81%.
81. And Tom?
87.
87. Whoa.
Solid.
Okay, so 49, 81, 87. The final percentage is 57.7.
Oh,
so that means 3 points to Scott.
Finally.
For this one.
Yeah.
2 points to Tom. 1 point to Mark. Question 9. What is the name of the tectonic boundary found between the Pacific Plate and the North American Plate? Name that tectonic plate.
Everybody loves a good tectonic plate question.
It's definitely up there. Also... down there. Yes, so the name of that thing, answer and percentage for this one.
I know this because Vancouver's on it.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so we get it drilled into us as kids.
Fancy.
We had to have earthquake kits set up at school. Like if there was an earthquake, we'd have like, you know, a juice box and different things. So I remember I got this game because we set them up when we were in kindergarten. So like 6 years old, and I remember I got a game and I was very excited about it, but my mom was like, oh, we should put it in the earthquake kit just in case, then you can have something to play with. And I was like, all right, fine. Never saw that game again for 7 years.
No.
And then I got it back when I was in grade 7 and I was like, I don't want to play this game anymore. I'm like, now
shit?
7 years older than I was then.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was dreadful.
I'm glad you had no earthquakes.
But let me tell
I'm
you,
glad you were safe.
We were ready.
Or were we? I don't know. The idea in an earthquake is to go under the table. So I don't know if that's helpful or not.
Quick, get the earthquake kit. Yeah. There's no time. Just leave it under,
play with?
Leave it under the table all the time.
All right. So name this tectonic boundary. Answers and percentage. Go. All right. Scott, you said...
That film, Pacific Rim.
Okay. Mark, you said that other film.
San Andreas Fault.
San Andreas Fault. And Tom?
San Andreas Fault.
San Andreas Fault. That was a film with The Rock, wasn't it?
Yeah.
San Andreas?
I think so.
Oh, no. I'm thinking of 2012. Yeah. Same thing happens, though. Yeah. Except Cusack runs away.
Science runs away from...
Yes. The great...
The end of the world.
Well, they keep saying the big one's going to hit one of these days. They don't know when.
Well.
But when it does.
You're safe over here.
Yes, I am. Yeah, that's true. That's why I'm here. I'm an earthquake refugee.
Potential earthquake refugee.
Potential.
It is the San Andreas Fault. The answer? Sorry, Scott.
Don't be sorry. I just didn't know it.
We've learned it, though.
I have.
Yeah.
Percentages. Yep. We've got a bit of
a spread.
A mixed bag. Scott, your number was?
57%.
57. Then Mark?
19.
19. And Tom?
92.
I feel like people might know this from the San Andreas GTA.
Yeah, exactly, right. That's what I was thinking.
Is that a part of the game?
Well, they just call Los Angeles San Andreas because it's on the fault line, I think. I think that's where they get the name from.
Learning so much from this question.
But do people know that? I don't know. I didn't think so. That's why I put 19.
Right. 57, 19, 92. The percentage is 59.8.
Oh, shit. Uh-huh.
So despite
your beauty,
not getting it right, Scott gets 3 points. 2 points to Tom and 1 point to Mark.
Oh, no. I'm having a bit of a late game fall here.
Really tailed off here.
Yeah.
And the final one in geography. Question 10. Name the desert you'd find bordering the countries of Chile, Peru, Bolivia, and Argentina. So the desert you'd find bordering... South American countries, Chile, Peru, Bolivia, and Argentina.
Wasn't the finale of one of those recent James Bond films in this desert somewhere? Was it Skyfall?
Yeah. No, it was Skyfall. It was Quantum of Solace.
Ah, Quantum of Solace, that's it. Does that help you, Scott?
I'm so confident now.
No.
No?
Everyone got an answer?
I think out of the recesses of my mind, this is the desert that receives the least amount of rainfall every year. But I don't know if that's true or not.
I mean, you'd
say I'm just making up facts now.
Yeah, that's fine. That's why I do.
I'm okay. Oh, Jesus Christ!
I'm really stuck on this one.
I'm really okay.
Okay, everyone got something.
Yeah.
Answer percentage 3, 2, 1. Turn. Okay, so Scott, you said
Kalamata. Is that a desert?
Is that an olive?
I think it's an olive.
I think it's an olive.
Okay, no spoilers, but. Scott said olive. Mark?
Atacama?
Atacama.
I mean, that, I think that might be what I was thinking of.
Titicaca.
Just Titicaca.
Yeah. the answer, sorry, is the Atacama Desert.
Oh, right. That's probably what I was thinking.
No.
The Atacama Desert.
Erase that from my memory.
But percentage, this is the important bit. Scott, you said?
60.
60. Mark?
36.
36. Tom?
43.
43. Oof. Okay, so 60, 36, 43. The percentage is 54.6.
Oh, man.
3 points to Scott.
Nice.
2 points to Tom, and then 1 point.
I was flying too close to the sun there.
To Mark.
Too long.
Kalamata is a city in Greece, by the way.
Where the olives come from.
Presumably they make olives there.
Presumably where the olives come from. Speaking of Canada's lakes, there's a lake in British Columbia called Kalamalka Lake, which is very similar to Kalamata.
Very dissimilar to a desert.
But not the same word.
What is a desert? Just a dried lake.
I mean, Canada's probably just got just lakes named after everything.
Everything.
There's so many of
them.
There's just so many. They're just ABC now. Yeah. AA, BB.
Maybe I was thinking of Calamari Desert from Mario Kart.
Oh, I feel bad now. I feel like I've lost my lead.
Oh, wow.
With this final.
Does everyone want to
That's
point?
Impressive. For those of you that can't see, Scott is spinning the whiteboard on a finger as though it was a basketball.
While he's taking his top off as well.
Weird. Just so I can spin it on my nipples.
Whack.
I'll show you later.
Okay.
I'm doing it with three.
All right. Who thinks you've done well?
I mean, I had a really...
Can we point to the winner?
Shit.
The audience is the winner.
I think
the audience.
I think
winner.
Tom.
I got a lot of threes, but then I had a lot of ones at the end.
A hard last.
Okay. Well,
all confident.
All very confident.
Well, I will reveal, and then we can do our closing remarks. It's very close.
Yeah.
It's very, very close. In third place, on 19 points, is Tom.
Hey. Oh.
Good.
1 point ahead of him, in second, on 20 points, is Scott.
Oh. Hey.
And then 1 point ahead of him, on 21, Jesus. Winning is Mark.
Oh, boy.
Nice.
That
was very 19, close. 20, well 21. That was a tight one.
Good. That was very tight. That was very close.
Excellent.
That was exciting.
Yeah. Oh, thrilling.
I was glad to be a part of it.
It was.
Yeah.
Well done.
Just happy to be here.
Just happy to be here.
Just happy to learn about geography.
That's right.
Did you learn a lot, Tom?
I did.
Good. Are you happy?
Yeah. Yep. I remember more my failures than the ones that I learned that it's not Titicaca. That Manchester is not the capital of Poland.
So, if anyone asks you, what's the capital of Poland again? Manchester. It's like, not Manchester.
Not Manchester.
Good, good. Ah, well, thank you very much for coming along.
Ah, thanks.
And telling us a bit about yourself and Summer Hall. So if you want some more information about the Kung Fu Film Festival or what's going on in the fridge, go and see.
In the fridge.
Yeah, I said fridge. What's going on in the fringe? Jump onto the Summer Hall website, Facebook page. I don't know. They're always posting stuff on Instagram as well.
Not the American lady.
Ask Summer Hall and then go onto Summer Hallery and find the actual information.
And the dates
don't
of that.
Don't pass to her anymore, please.
Yeah, poor Summer Hall. And the dates of that film festival were again?
16th to the 22nd
after
of September.
A very busy fringe festival.
Yeah.
But don't come in your swim trunks because there's no sauna this year.
No.
But there might be a naked show.
But there might be a naked show, yeah.
Who knows?
You never know.
Who
right?
knows?
Well, thank you very much, everyone, for being on the podcast. Thank you, everyone, listening at home. If you want to get in touch, info at Goose's Quizzes. Message us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, one of those things. Send us a letter. Smoke Signal. Bebo? Do we use Bebo?
Mm-hmm.
TikTok?
Yeah, MySpace.
Yeah.
We should start a TikTok.
Yeah, we should.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Goodbye from Louis.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from Mark.
Bye.
And also goodbye from Tom.
See ya.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. Bye.